Yeah, we have a mission, church. You believe it? We have a great mission before us. We have been commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to make disciples, to get people into the kingdom of God and to love them and spend time with them. And the Lord has been placing on my heart for the last several months, several weeks, that we are going to build a church right here in Del Valle among the broken people. And I know that might not sound weird to you, but it really is weird because that's not where churches are growing. Y'all ready? I'm preaching. I'll read a scripture later. We are in Del Valle. We are in East Austin. And you may not live here, but this is where we feel to commit to reach people. Unless God were to send you from here, then you agree with me that this is where God has called us. This is the area that we will primarily work to build a church. And if you're here and you're a member of this church, then that's exactly what that means. This is our territory. Even if you live an hour away, while you're doing your own Bible studies where you live, this is the territory God has unified us together in to do something mighty and powerful. And it's going to take a team and a family to do what God has for this area. I will not do it by myself. I will train people until we find the right specific 12 disciples that can get the job done. We'll keep training. If we have to keep trying new people, we will find the right mixture of team and powerful anointed men and women of God. And we will build a church here in Del Valle. We will build a mighty church here, a massive church here. This territory belongs to Jesus Christ. This territory belongs to the Lord's kingdom. Darkness has had it for far too long, and it is no longer the enemy's territory. This is the territory of Jesus Christ. This area is a lower income, a little bit higher crime area compared to much of Austin. And the biggest complaint that people have of this area is, as you've heard earlier, theft. And I will add, no restaurants. Makes me want to quit and move somewhere else just for the food reasons. But they are on the way. They are on the way. So hang on. Some people complain that the area is growing, but if it's going to grow, at least bring food, Jesus. At least bring food. Bring HEB. I just need Jesus and HEB. Some of y'all that don't know about HEB, you just moved to the area, you need some HEB in your life is what you need. Alcohol and drug use, poverty is high. I don't know how poverty is high, given how expensive everything is, but apparently it's high. I don't know if poverty is high or just living expenses are high. But it is a more difficult area financially, economically. People don't make as much money here. I'm just telling you what the data says. Okay? Now, you might be, while I'm talking, be getting political, and you might have all the reasons figured out as why this area is the way it is. But I don't want to get into that with you today, because that's divisive. And I don't know if we're all mature enough to even have that conversation. Because that's a tough conversation to have. Why people are poor, why things are the way they are, is a very mature conversation that not everybody's ready to have. But I will tell you that we live here. We know this area. Some of you live in this neighborhood. You know it's true. I talk to people. I counsel people. This is what I would call rough area. Now, it's not the roughest. It's not Chicago. There are places. And right, Israel, there are some places worse than Israel's like, do you think this is bad? Ha! This is nothing compared to Chicago. And I'm not trying to make this area horrible because it's actually not the worst area. It's not the scariest area. It's just for Austin. This is a different area. Austin has a lot of money, and people in Austin that have money choose to live west. This is the order: west, north, south, then east. And that's the way it's been. But things are changing, and God has to get us ready for it. I'll just tell you right now, my wife and I have had a vision. My wife can help me, but I don't know how you heard it, vision, dream. But God is making Del Valle the new middle of Austin, the new head, the middle. And we had a dream and a vision that God is not, we are not the east side, we're the future center. This area has built from 35 west, and they run into water and mountains, and they're out of room. And there's only one place left to go, and that's why Elon Musk has put everything he's put on the east side of 35, because there's only one area left to grow in, and we in Del Valle are in the center of the future growth for the next 30 years in Austin, Texas. That you will see it. This church will be the epicenter of revival for this entire region. And God has sent my wife and I here to this area to prepare a church, a leadership team, and a people for a mighty, massive harvest. It might kill us before it's over, but we're going to die anyway. We might as well die swinging. We might as well go down trying, because we're not going to retreat. We're not going to back up. God has a mission and a purpose to grow a church in, yes, I said it, a broken area. Now I'm going to need some help from my other ethnicities today. I'm going to need some people to help me today, because I'm a white guy preaching in a highly Hispanic minority area. I'm the minority today. Where's your respect for me? Hope y'all protect me and give me as much rights as everybody else has been wanting. I need your help today, because I'm going to be talking about this area, and I need you to have the right spirit. You commit to have the right spirit? If you think that I'm racist, talk to me after church. Talk to somebody else after church. Don't talk to me. Talk to Dante. Talk to some of his people. Talk to Joe. I'm not racist, all right? But I got to talk about some of this stuff, because it's holding us back. It's part of it. But God's going to help us, okay? In this area, we see a lot of abused people. We see past prisoners. People have had hard jail time. I just counseled somebody recently that had just got out of prison after 20 years. 20 years. When as a teenager, 20 years. All majority of life in prison. These are the kind of people that God is sending to our church. And I thank God for it, because that's why the church exists. That's why Jesus bled and died. Jesus came for the sick. Jesus came for the hurting. Jesus came for those that are broken. And that's why the gospel is even working in the first place. And I thank God for this area. I thank God for hurting people. I thank God. We'd have no purpose without hurting people. We'd have no reason to exist without hurting people. I thank God for people that are going through a tough time. That gives us purpose. And we talk to people all the time. And we talk to people. We reach out to people. We know about this area. This area is not very big into Christianity. But even though they do say that they are, there's a lot of people with a Catholic background. They don't go to church, but they come from grandparents or parents that were Catholic. This is a dark area. This is a godless area. I know people have some traditions, but it's not really godly. In fact, look up the number of churches in Del Valle. It'll tell you how godly it is. I just challenge you. I don't want to get into too deep today. I just challenge you. Look at where the churches are growing. I don't even know how to teach this. I feel like somebody else would do a better job maybe, but Brother Matthew, I looked at them. I did a research on where the fastest churches are growing right now, and I looked at where they are, and I looked at where they're not. And then I looked at the income, and I looked at the demographics. Look, don't get mad. Do research. Why? I want to know why. No, I want the answer. I don't want to start a fight. I want to find the solutions to the problems. There ought to be churches everywhere, not just in white suburbs. Good? Are we good? What are you saying? You saying white people are better? No, not at all. I've been praying about this. I said, God, help me with the people. Help me understand why you sent me to a 75% Hispanic area. I play tennis. I'm trying to relate with people from the street. And you know what the Lord told me during worship? Because I'm struggling. God said Moses was Egyptian too. God said Moses was the white man of his day. Leading people out that weren't like Egypt. And the Lord told me, I want you as a white guy to go to Del Valle, and now I see it, because you speak the language of the day, because you know the American culture, because you understand the ways of the nation. I did not send you to a white neighborhood. I sent you to a people who feel alienated and broken and disconnected, because I wanted to show them that if God can do it through a white guy to reach people that are not white, then that's called revival. Our world is expecting black people to reach black people and Hispanic to reach Hispanic, but here's the work of the Holy Ghost. When white people love Hispanic people and white people serve black people, that's when you know you're in a mighty end time revival. That's the love of God. That's breaking the boundaries of racism. Ain't no way this white guy could ever grow a church in this area. We are going to. Might be the only white guy left, but we're still gonna be here growing and loving people, because God sent us here to get you out of the world, to get you out of Egypt, and take you to a promised land. You know what? You maybe should stop being racist so that I can help you. Been so messed up with CNN and Fox News and the world system talking about how people's color of their skin is going to affect their ministries. No, it's not. Not according to God. According to God, we shouldn't be using all those metrics to decide whether somebody can love us, help us, serve us. That's not godly. We don't believe that message. We good? It's Del Valle. Many, many men and women have never had a solid father or mother, especially a consistent Christian father or mother. That is the area that we live in. It is a different area. There are areas like this around every major city. There's a part of town around every major city, and they need churches, but they don't have them. And there's a reason. Well, Pastor, it's everybody else's fault. No, actually, buildings are cheaper on this side of town. It would be easier to start a church here. But they're not. A bunch of rich white guys in boardrooms are not planting churches in Del Valle right now, and you got to ask why. Because they're planting them everywhere else. It's their fault. They're racist, are they? Their mission is to grow the kingdom. Why are they going to neighborhoods that have a higher probability of church attendance? Is the gospel of Jesus held hostage by geographical boundaries? No. So I'm studying and I'm asking God, how are we going to grow a church in this area? I'm not worried about the church across town. They do what they do. They do their thing. They have their little putt-putt meetings and they have their golf clubs and they do their thing, right? But I am in Del Valle and I've got to ask God what to do with the people God has sent me to right here in this neighborhood. And I've got to figure out why are there so few churches in an area that should have a lot. Now, last time I read the Bible, Jesus said, I didn't come for the whole. I came for the sick. Now, we all sitting here going, this area is sick. How come they're not going to church? Are we good? Y'all thinking with me here? You're like, I want you to tell me the reason why. No, I want you to think about it like I did. What's wrong with these areas? It can't be skin color because we don't believe that. We know the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. So we know that God is not sending preachers to certain areas because of skin color. It's not happening. You think God cares about your skin color or how poor you are? I've got way too much Bible telling me that God looks for broken people. He looks for people that have been marginalized and pushed aside and racism has been. He looks for people that have been hurt and abandoned and abused. So why then? I must ask the question, why, if this area is full of pain and abuse and suffering, are the people not wanting to build churches? But Dale, we ought to have 4 or 5 churches of 3,000 in this area. Because Jesus does better work for people who are poor, who have been hurt and offended. We're going to figure this out as a church, and we're going to grow a church right here in Del Valle. We're not letting it stop us. I don't care what happens at anybody else's church. This church is going to grow. This church is going to be multicultural. This church is going to have every type of person. This church is going to grow with a white pastor. This church is going to grow, and it's not going to matter. We're not letting that junk stop us. We're going to reach this city and reach this territory. I don't care what your color is or nationality is. I've been sent here on a mission with the gospel of Jesus to see sinners saved. All right, this area is growing quickly. Broken lives are increasing all around us. It's a rough area compared to other areas. But let me just talk to you a little bit about areas. Many people will move from an area that's bad as soon as they get a chance. NBA stars and rappers grow up in the hood. They rap about it. They brag about it. As soon as they get money, they leave their people. I'll never betray you, man. Get signed to $1 million. Peace out. Live in a bunch of white people. Money will do it to you. Money will say peace out on your own people. Some people just stuck in the neighborhood they're in. And they have to act like they like it. These are my people. You and I both know if you won the lottery, you'd move. You wouldn't tear down your house and build a newer one right there. You'd leave because you don't want to get shot at. Oh, I can't believe you betray us. No, it's common sense. Everybody wants to get out of a dangerous community. Everybody, except for missionaries. Everybody wants to leave the dangerous area, except for Jesus. Except for Christians. Except for those who are called to win them. Except for those who are called and sent into the community. You see, everybody else is trying to get out, but we're trying to get in because we care, because we love. Many people don't want to live around or live in brokenness unless they need to for work or they can't afford something better, or maybe their family's there and they don't want to leave their family, but as soon as they get money, they move out and they move their family out. So they don't have to go back. God sent us here to build a church in this broken land. There are places in America that you can move to that don't have the crime. They don't have the drama. They don't have people trying to break in the church, stealing cars. This is the second break-in we've had from a work truck. There are areas you can go to with less crime, slower pace of life, better school districts. And we have some in our church that gossip has gotten back to me that you're trying to move. Please hurry, because I hate that feeling that you're only here just to get out of here. I'm sorry, but I've bled and wept too much over this city to have people not want to help me. I need to know who's a part of this church. I got to know who's going to help me fight this thing, because this is too big for one man with a bunch of half-hearted saints. We need to solidify today who's going to help us reach this broken community and build a church right here. Right here. You know why those areas are typically greater? Because they have typically more Christians. Churches everywhere. Everybody goes to church. Everybody. Ask somebody. They go to church. I go to church. We have a big gym. My kids are in the school. Big church. That's why those areas are better. So I'll tell you what we do. Let's all leave this area and let's just go have a party in the woods. Forget those sinners, those dirty sinners. Forget them. Who cares about them? I'm tired of their crime. I'm tired of their problems. I'm tired of putting up with new people and guests that have issues and mental problems. Just hang out with my friends at church, because this church is getting too many weirdos. Thank God for the weirdos. Thank God for people that aren't right in the head. Thank God for people that are broken and hurt and abused and banded. That's what we're here for, y'all. We're here for people that have been hurt and molested and done wrong and been through 3 marriages. Thank God when they come in. You better thank God for hurting people. You better thank God for broken people. That means they're attracted to us. Dare you to tell me I don't love people? How come this church is full of broken people if I don't love people? Pastor, I don't understand. I don't think you love people. Really? Then why are they coming in broken, wanting me to be their pastor? Because they feel my love. They wouldn't be here. Oh, Pastor, you're attracting a bunch of white rich men. Are we? Are we? My ministry is the gospel ministry. My ministry is for all. My ministry is for anybody who wants it. My ministry is for the hungry and the broken. We're not here to have a party. We're here for purpose. And I've come to appeal to you. We've got work to do in this area. But Pastor, I've got too much going on. Here's the excuses. I got too much going on personally in life. I don't have time to help all these other people. You're right. That's exactly our problem right now, is we can barely keep our own head above water, much less help somebody else that's hurting. Every church has to go through a season where the saints that are in that church have to become mature first. And that's what God has been doing for 7 years. Been trying to grow all of us up, me included. God has let you go through pain and suffering and loss. He let me go through a neck injury, my wife go through cancer. And I know why. Because you can't relate to broken until you've been broken. You can't love people that have been marginalized and hurt until you've been marginalized and hurt. You can't relate to people that have had racism problems and issues and they've been treated wrong because they're a woman or a man or a child until you've been through it. And the reason why God lets the strong among us have pain is because it's how you have compassion for broken people. Well, Pastor, my family is hurting. How's that going with your family? Well, they're lost, and I don't think I can do anything until they're saved. Maybe that's the reason why they're still lost, because you're doing nothing until they're saved. You know what the greatest testimony would be for your home? Is for you to get over the fact that your family is not serving God and realize you are, and go do something with your life that shines the glory of God in your home. Come home with a testimony instead of a sad face that says you didn't go again today. Why don't you go home with a revival story? Why don't you go home talking about the miracles that God did inside of you? Why don't you join a ministry at church, help us win the lost, and then go talk to your lost loved ones about everything God is doing in the world and make them thirsty for it. You know, we're so sad and pitiful. We're like, I can't believe you didn't go to church again. It's been 40 years. For 40 years, you've been crying about them, and they're still not coming to church. How's that working for you? Maybe it's time for you to get on fire for God for yourself and forget about everybody else. Maybe it's time for you to get involved in the kingdom of God, teaching Bible studies on your kitchen table while your husband sits in the back bedroom pouting. Maybe it's time for you to bring God home in your personal revival. Maybe the reason why nobody wants to come to church is because you're not doing anything with the anointing and the power of God that God gave you. As soon as they all get right, I'll join. When will they get right? What will it take to get them right? I have a wild idea. Why don't you give your life to Jesus and let your family see God perform miracles with your life right in front of their own eyes? Take your kids to church and serve God with or without your spouse. Go to church even if your parents don't. My parents don't go to church. I wish they would stop fighting. Go to church. Show them God is real. Go back home, brag on church, and be like, wow, I love that church. That church has saved me, helped me, and loved me. Maybe your parents will hear you and see what God is doing in your life. Don't cry about your family problems and not let God help you. We are in an area where people will tell you about their problems for 15 hours, but they won't ask questions about how to get out for 15 minutes. And I'm not convinced people in this area want out. You ready for me to prove it to you? Okay, our church does homeless ministry. Well, that's so good, Pastor. I love that. Yeah, I love it too. I did it a lot in Dallas. We would pick up 30, 45 people. We'd feed them breakfast and lunch, take them back down to the bridge. We loved them. We sat by them. We endured the smells and sleeping in church beside us and just anger and attitude and fights because we love them, because we care. We did it for 5 years, and we may have had one person in all that time actually make repentance and turn to Jesus. And here's what boggles our mind. How could broken people not want Jesus? What's your definition of broken? Because it's not poor. It can't be that. Oh, well, they don't have money. They must want Jesus. No, I found a lot of people that don't have money don't want Jesus still. Well, drug abuse. No, drugs is why they don't want Jesus. They have drugs. They only want Jesus after they have to get off of them. Then they're like, I got to have something to fix me. Then they go to church. People, just because people look bad and have a hard time doesn't mean they're hungry for God. And we're deceived because we're going out to people that are homeless thinking, if I were homeless, I'd want help. Exactly. You were hungry. They're not. Pastor, I want to help you out on this. My finances are bad. I got to get my finances under order. I'm going to work 2 or 3 jobs for the next 15 years until I get my finances right. So my finances are right, I'll help you all out. The devil knows the reasons why you're not doing anything for him. He's going to keep you poor. Because you're always going to have to work 2 and 3 jobs. Miss church, can't go to outreach, can't do all that. And the devil knows how to get your number. Because the rest of your life, he's going to keep you poor and keep you broke and make sure you work 2 and 3 jobs. And it feels so righteous working jobs, doesn't it? It feels so good. I got to work, Pastor. Must be nice to be able to go home to a nice house and not have to work. Amen. That's what the devil will tell you right there. Yeah, that's what the devil says. I've heard it. Don't worry. I've heard it. I've thought it. Don't worry. I've heard all that. But you say, I got to work. Must be nice. You know what? You know what? You don't want to have a talk with me about money. No, you don't. You do not want to open up your bank account with me. No one does. Nobody, Brother Matthew, wants to sit down with their pastor and go over where they blow their money. You don't have to say amen. I've blown money enough to know, and I'm a preacher. I'm going to tell you, it's not about working all the time. It's about trusting God with your money and your life, and it's about getting the right job, the right promotions, and having favor on your life so that you can do more for God. God does not want you to work yourself into the grave. He wants you to work enough to be able to be free to do ministry and serve his kingdom. I'm going to tell you what happens whenever you tell God, I want to work for your kingdom. He helps you find the right job and get the right money to do his work. If you will tell God, I'll do anything to serve you, and you mean it, God will move heaven and earth and mountains around to get you the right job so that you can be free to minister, so you can have enough money to pay the bills, take a vacation, bless the kids, and still do work for him. If your heart will get in the kingdom, God will supply your financial issues. When you look at money as a tool for your ministry, you'll stop blowing it and stop wasting it. God can start blessing. You got to take care of what God's already given you. And if you can't help yourself buying that candy bar, then that's your problem. Because I would dare say money is probably not the issue. It's just how we spend it. It's what we do with it. Pastor, when my health gets right, you know, your health can be recovered in Jesus' name. I believe it. But why would God heal you just to have you mess it up again? I mean, that's just dumb, isn't it? God, heal me. Why? Well, I want to drink Dr. Pepper. I want you to go into my pancreas and make it like gold so that I can drink whatever I want to drink and not affect my body. And we get God to heal us, and we come to the front, and we ask God to heal us, and then we go out there and destroy it. So here's my theory. If your desire was to go knock doors and you had health problems, it gives God a greater incentive to heal your body because you're not going to blow your energy on yourself, but you're asking for new legs so that you can walk for him. The reason why some of us aren't getting our bodies healed by God is because you only want to heal your body to build your kingdom, not his kingdom. But as soon as you make your mind up, you want to build God's kingdom. He wants to heal your body so that you can perform more for his kingdom. Why would God heal you just so you can make more money and miss more church? Well, as soon as I get my health right, you'll never have your health right if you don't want to help us reach the people of this city. Why would God heal you? Show God that he is first in your life so he can trust you. I want to get married and have kids, and then I'll work for you, Jesus. I just have to hurry and get married first. And I have to have my kids, and then my kids, and that's going to, what, take 18 years plus? Kids don't move out at 18 anymore. They stay till they're 45. Hadn't been kids for a long time. Just still live like one. And people working for God are much more attractive to other godly people. People that are not working for God are scary Christians because they're selfish Christians. Maybe the reason why you're still single is because other Christians would never touch you, because you don't lift your hands in worship. You don't help open the door for anybody. You come in, get your blessing, and go home. You don't serve on the ministry teams. You don't go to the altar and pray. You don't ask the pastor for advice, and you scare people, and they're already scared enough. I'm going to tell you how people would look at you and be attracted to you in the church. Be busy for the kingdom of God, loving souls, teaching Bible studies, serving in the ministry teams. And then somebody might catch your eye and say, wow, that's who I want. Lazy, selfish Christians are scary to other Christians. In fact, you're lukewarm and we don't know who you are, and it's scary. Why would God want a selfish person getting married and having children? Just to destroy the marriage and the kids. If you want to get married and have kids, do it God's way. Get in his kingdom. Obey his voice. Get busy in the ministry. You will find your spouse on the road of ministry. You will find your family on the road of doing God's will. If you want God to give you those extra things, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these other things shall be added unto you. You're asking for the other things, and then you'll get God. But God is saying, you seek me first, and I'll give you everything else. Truth is, I am definitely angry today because Satan has been telling me that my vision is too big for this area. And the Lord has protected me from the lie of the devil over the last 7 years that has tempted me many times to look for an easier road. And I need to confess today, there was a time about 5 years ago, we had people living in the Leander area, and I was visiting there a lot, and I was going to their coffee shops and their stores, and everybody was so nice. There was no gunshots going off. And this voice came in my head and said, this is where you should build a church. Why don't you plant a church in Leander? Pastor both places. It'd be so much easier there. They fit in like you. You can communicate to them. You speak their language. Maybe you grow a church much faster than in Del Valle. And that secret thought crept in my mind and played and played. And I never did anything with it because I didn't feel it was God's will. But I now know what that voice was. It wasn't ever God. It was never God. There wasn't a church in Leander, and we're all about planting churches. That's why the thought started. I think there's one now that's trying to be built there at Daughter Work. But I want to confess to you and tell you, I know exactly what that voice was. That was a voice of frustration, of me not knowing if I was going to be able to do this like God told me to do it. But I rise today after many years of brokenness to tell you I know exactly what I'm called to do. I was called to build this area. This area. And whoever's in it, and no matter how many problems or drug addicts there are, I know for sure now that I am 100% going to build the kingdom of God right here in Del Valle. Those thoughts have been long gone. They're long gone. They were a temptation from the enemy. And I'm telling you, we are going to build a church, and the devil is a liar, because we're going to have a big church, a flourishing church, a mighty church. We're going to have a church where people don't just come in and like to sit in church, but they're being radically changed. The gospel is working. Marriages are coming back together. Kids are being changed. People are getting their wealth figured out. We are going to be the head and not the tail right here in Del Valle. Do you believe it today? The devil
devil's been telling me that the abuse in this area is not loosed, and the hate is too great, and the broken is all that has ever spoken here. But I did the research, and I found out that this area shouldn't have a church. I found out that people don't believe that we can build a church here, because all the rich churches aren't planting them here. They're going to all the fancy parts of town, because those people are already saved.
Can build a church around a bunch of good, polished people. I got scripture for you. You want it? Well, I'm going to give it to you anyway. Look at this. Matthew chapter 5, 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. You can't do that on the other side of town. You can't do it on the other side of town. People in West Austin are like, oh, we just love minorities and broken folks. And got a latte, a $40 million building, doing nothing except for giving an extra $30 in the offering plate to Africa. Because that feels good. You know what really is difficult? Getting around Africans. God didn't call us to just give our riches away so somebody else with a burden can go across the world. He called us to go across the town and talk to somebody broken and love them. That's real love. Real love doesn't just sit in a pretty church saying, yeah, we love them, but you never will hang out with them.
This just blew me away. Do good to them that hate you. You can't do that if you're never around them. You know what we do? We move. We move to different school districts, move to different church areas, we move away. We say it's too hard there. People are difficult. We move. And we hang out with people just like us. And we call ourselves Christian. Because that's what Jesus does, right? Jesus hangs out with only people that agree. That's his spirit, right? Oh yeah, you got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost says move to the country around a bunch of white Pentecostals. That's not what the Holy Ghost says. The Holy Ghost says, go find somebody not like you and love them. If you're really a Christian, that's how you're supposed to live. Find somebody that hates you. Pray for them to despitefully use you, persecute you. They can't persecute you and despitefully use you if you're not in their neighborhood, not at their church in their area. That you may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Verse 46, for if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? We're in the great migration. People get saved here and they leave. What are you doing? Thank y'all for helping me find Jesus. Now I no longer want to hang out with people in the world. So wait, I'm gonna help you get out of the mess you're in, and then you're gonna go move to Leander or East Texas or wherever, pick place. There's millions of them that are easier than this. You're missing the entire point. God did not save you to move you from the hood over to the rich neighborhood to forget your calling. And I don't care about where you choose to live. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you do your ministry. God has called us to this area. And if you're in this church, we're called to these people, to these hurting people, to these broken people, and we've got to grow a church right here in Del Valle.
I don't believe God looks at your bank account, skin tone, education level, who raised you, who didn't raise you, criminal background, prison time, abuse, culture, language, and intellect. But whether you like it or not, our societal system tends to group us geographically according to these characteristics. Let me put it to you like this. When ghetto people move into your neighborhood, it typically brings down the home prices. And people with more money will move out. When crime increases, families move out. If they can afford to, they do. Churches in those areas get smaller and shut down. They're doing it right now in East Austin. We rescued one of them because I hate that. Y'all got me so mad by the day when I found out that there was one of our churches struggling to stay open in a very broken area with a bunch of minorities and atheists. And you telling me I'm going to sit there and find out about a church shutting down in an area that needs church more than any area?
And that's why you felt this. You felt me get up and fight back and say, we will not let a church shut down in an area that needs Jesus. We will do whatever it takes to build a church in a broken area. I am a man of God, and I'm not afraid of broken people. I'm not afraid of people in crime. They were like, watch out, this is the hood. Watch out, this is a scary area. That's great! I had a friend of mine go out there to work at the church, and he said, that's a devil's den. I said, good. That's where the church ought to be. The church belongs in the devil's den, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We're going to the enemy's gates. We're ripping them down, and we're going to pull people out of the devil's hands. Well, we're turning our church into a homeless camp. If they're not getting the Holy Ghost and being saved, it doesn't matter. Feeding people doesn't put them in heaven. Feeding people gives you an opportunity to preach to them. We only feed the homeless because we want to connect to them so that they can be saved and get out of the homelessness. I'm not feeding them to enable them the rest of their life. I'm feeding them because I want them to know Jesus loves you, my friend, and you can get out of this. My revelation right now. I am not convinced that a man who lives alone and doesn't want to be in submission is going to go to heaven anyway. It is not pure being poor. It is not pure being homeless, living under a bridge. It is not holy. It's not righteous. It's selfish. It's so ungodly. What happened to that demoniac of Gadara? He had to go off into the graveyard and live by himself. Because the devil will always pull you away from church and society. Don't tell me I don't love homeless people. I do. But I am not called to a specific class of person. I am called to hungry people. And hunger is not homelessness. No, anybody can be hungry. And anybody could not be hungry. God, help us find hungry people. Let me come to my closing. The question I ask is, why, whenever areas and crime begins to happen, why do churches shut down and not grow? I thought where sin abounds. You see the problem I'm having right now, Jayden? Do you feel what I'm saying? That's why you're laughing. Like, you feel this is so funny right now. Why in the world are we not growing Del Valley? When sin abounds, why do we run? What are we doing? We have missed the revelation of the power of the gospel. We have got to ask the question, where are Christians going? Why are they leaving? And why does Del Valley not want it? We were at Mandola's Italian the other day in West Austin. We love Mandola's Italian food. We asked the manager, why won't we all go to Bastrop? He basically said in so many words that the societal class of your area is too poor to justify us investing there. Oh, y'all didn't know that? Look where Chick-fil-A is at on West 35 and East 35 on a map. West always has a whole lot more of everything. Pastor, why do you think we struggle to build a church among the broken? Number one, people move into an area that do not want Jesus. That's number one. A lot of turnover in our areas. People come and go. Churches don't travel. They stay put, but people come and go. Neighborhoods are getting better or worse every day. Things are shifting every day. Different classes of people are moving in or moving out. Christians are shifting and moving. Most of the time when someone finds Jesus, they leave their crime-ridden area. They get into a better school district. God blesses them financially, and they get away and they hang out with other Christians on the nice big church across town, leaving that broken area a broken, worse area. If the converts never stay in their area and win people, we'll never turn Del Valley around. Move where you want to move, but come back here so that we can reach this community for Jesus. This is our mission field God has called us to. Our area is very godless. But listen, there are three kinds of sinners in this area. There are religious people, there are worldly people, there are hungry people. And we are here for the hungry people. The religious will get mad at us, and they'll be pharisaical, and they'll think that we're not spiritual enough, we're not doing it right. They'll think that we don't love people enough. They'll criticize us because we don't do this or don't do that, and we don't give enough money to the poor, and they're so spiritual and they're so right, even though their life is a wreck. They will criticize us. They're living in the law. They're Pharisaical, and you'll never help those people in Del Valley. Then there are people that are just absolutely worldly and selfish, and they will never want us to help them because they love their flesh so much. They love their lives so much, they'll never want Jesus. But in the mix of all of that, there's a sinner called a hungry person, and we are here for every hungry person in Del Valley, Texas. And I'm telling you, there are enough hungry people in this area to go around. There's plenty. The harvest is white and ready, and God is calling us to rise up as a church and go find whosoever will and help them get right with God. The second reason that I believe is one of the reasons why we're not helping people is it could be that the church is too weak to help broken people. Because Jesus said it's easy to love your friend that treats you good. It's easy to go to a church with a bunch of well-dressed, well-spoken, educated, professional people who care about themselves and their families, but try building a church around the broken. I'm going to be very blunt, very real. I'm feeling it. Been feeling it for a long time. But some of our own strong people are frustrated because you wish you had more friends like you. And here's what the Lord is telling you. Why don't you go win them? Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. I just feel like I have my group. And somebody said, your church is cliquish. Yeah, it's cliquish because half of us don't want to serve God. Don't do it to me. I know the stories. You don't know people like I know people. I'm the one in counseling. You cannot continue to go to a place saying no to the gospel before we start to be divided. Unity is through the Spirit of God, not through skin color or money. It's through mission and purpose. And some of us hang out with each other because we have more of a heart that's the same. We're not trying to alienate anybody. But I have felt some people say, y'all, this is getting to be a lot of crazy folks. I don't know. This person looks at me funny. Y'all, there's people in this church that might hug you and not even understand you're not supposed to rub your chest on a man. I've had guests walk in. They don't think nothing about it. They give me a big old bear hug. They got their tatas showing, and they're just sitting there hugging on me, and I'm thinking, my God, they don't know any better. I'm not mad at them. They don't know any better. Y'all, some of us Christians get upset with new babies. And we don't know how to deal with them. I mean, I've never seen so many drug messed up brain people. I'm not trying to down you. It's a real issue. But we're going to have to help people that aren't like us. We're going to get some wisdom and some patience, y'all. If we're going to reach Del Valley, you're going to have a little bit more stretch and flexibility. You got to stop wanting to always have your same group of friends all the time. Why don't you mentor somebody? Why don't you go win your friends? But I have to say one more thing. Some of us are trying to win people and they're not listening to us. Let me be fair, because, you know, sometimes we make mistakes as leaders, sometimes we're not that great, but sometimes we're doing just fine. And sometimes we're inviting you to our house, and we're taking you out to eat, and we're teaching Bible studies, and you're not listening. And you have got to understand human nature and how this works. You cannot continue to be different than the group you hang out with and be a part of it and be close and tight. You will feel a disconnect if you do not get discipled. That's why the Bible says go and make a disciple, because you cannot stay in a church if you don't become like the people in your church. You won't stay. What you'll do is you'll get mad, you'll call us names and call us racist and say we don't love anybody. But the truth is you're not changing to conform to what we're trying to accomplish here, and you feel disconnected. You have got to assimilate when you come in those doors for a few weeks. You've got to get in classes, and you've got to humble yourself and ask for help, and you've got to change. You can't come up in the church being like, I know everything, and you don't. Now, none of us are perfect. Our leadership team's not perfect. None of us are perfect. But we are better off than the majority of the people that are coming to our church. And when I say that, I mean we know how to help you. And if you would just listen to some of us, we could become family, work together, and we could build this church. But we're going to have to unify and put aside our differences and put aside our issues. We cannot have segregation. We can't have that mess in this church. We can't segregate anyway, and we sure can't segregate spiritually. God help us, because I have a burden in my heart that I want our church to be a big, bold, strong, loving, strong, powerful church here. I have to believe that you're not here by accident. And listen, let me tell everybody right now, I'm so glad you're all here, even the ones I don't like very much. You can laugh. Look, family's allowed to fight. We just make up real fast. This is how you know you're really a member of the church. You get mad and you stay. We family, y'all. We family. Pastor, I'm mad at you right now, but I'm going to stay because we're family. And family's family no matter what happens. So let me brag on you. Everybody, let me brag on you. I might not like you. You may have a bad spirit. But listen, I like your fight. You know who I want to team up with? Fighters. I tell you what, if you ever just let God use that fight and you stop trying to fight me and everybody else in this church, we gonna turn this city upside down. Because this church has some gangsters. This church has some strong women and strong men. This church has some fighters. And the reason why some of us don't get along is because we got fight in us. And I've come to tell you, God wants to use your fight. You're fighting, and I'm not fighting you. God wants to make us work together. Acts 2 and 17. You ready, sister? Let's put it up. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Right now, God is pouring out his spirit on Del Valley, right now. No matter how bad it is out there, no matter how many drugs, no matter what's going on, how many spirits, God said, I'll pour out on everybody that wants. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This thing affects our children. Even young people are going to be blessed by the Holy Ghost power. Somebody say children. They shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams. This is for everybody, both ages, young and old. To build a church here with young and old. It's not a young church. It's not an old church. It's everybody church. I'm going to keep going. Are you ready? You ready for the Del Valley message? Here we go. Verse 18. I'm even going to give my spirit to the men servants and the maid servants. Well, who are those people? You know who they are. This means something. Sons and daughters are one thing. They get all the privileges. You know, generational wealth. But there are people that have never had anything. They come from nothing. They were in their society the same as slaves. They were contract laborers working for minimum wage under rich people. And he said, and I will pour out my spirit even upon those who their society has given up on them, that says they're trash and they're nothing and they're good for nothing, they're the slaves of society. I will even get you. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Ghost pours out on everybody? They shall prophesy. Next verse. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor and smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Next verse. And it shall come to pass that whoever come on in, whoever wants it, you can have it. Whoever calls, whoever. It doesn't matter, whoever. He goes on to say, and this you shall preach here, outside, and all over the world, Judea Samaria, and the uttermost Jerusalem, the uttermost parts of the world. This message is not for the nice side of town only. This message is for everybody, everywhere, no matter your place in life. If you could just get my spirit, we become equal. Pastor, you don't understand where I come from. You don't, can't relate to me. It doesn't matter. Get the same Holy Ghost as me. And we are the same. It don't matter where you go home today or how poor you are, how rich you are. We are the same. Whenever you get the same spirit as me, we become unified together. We become the same and we can accomplish the same mission. I've come to tell you today, our God is the same God on both sides of the track. God is making Death Valley the center of this territory. God has opened up doors. I felt led recently. I'm about to call every local pastor in this area and bring them here, hopefully once a month for lunch and prayer, at least prayer time. I want to build us a Christian school larger than life and a daycare right here. We're going to have 800 people in this church, not long. 800 people. We're going to build a new church, have 800 people here, right here. And those 800 people are going to be the financiers for worldwide revival. Those 800 people are going to be the ones that are going to be sent out to be able to do missionary work and plant churches. We're going to plant churches. We're going to have satellite campuses. We're going to raise up prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. I don't care who you are, where you come from, what your ethnicity is. We're going to invest in you. We're going to believe in you. We're going to train you. And God is going to send you and use you to do great things. Would you stand all over this house right now? I'm a fighter. I've always been a fighter. I'm not talking physically. I only broke one guy's nose. Only got one fight. A fight I thought I could win. I'm a smart fighter. I don't fight for no reason. I fight if I think I have to fight, but I have always been a fighter. And the reason why, my wife's a fighter. That's why God's had to bless our marriage. We're both fighters. Both strong, determined. God sent us here like Moses to call people out of this world and build a church. And y'all, this church is going to be the most glorious thing because it's going to shock people when they walk in and see all of the different cultures and all the different economic placements, all different kind of color people, skin tone, culture, background, doesn't matter. And yet we're going to build a massive multicultural church here and get along. It won't be judgment between social classes, education levels. We're going to have humility and maturity. And I'm putting a call out today to every one of us. Will you please help me? Because I can't do this by myself. I need capable leaders and saints in this church to be able to sit by, talk to, hang out with broken, hurting people without judgment. I do it all the time. I sit in meetings all the time where I want to tell the person they're wrong, and I just have to sit there and start tearing up because I'm like, they don't know. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And I have been burned many times by believing in people too quickly. And anybody I've ever offended is because I tried to promote them before they were ready. Anybody. I started looking back at the past to people that got mad at me. You know why? I started thinking, it's because I hung out with them, believed in them, I invested in them, I made them leaders, I put them over something, but they weren't ready. So I'm slowing down now. I'm going to make sure you're ready. Before you ever get a position or a title or a name or you start doing anything in authority in this church, I can't afford for you to get too much too fast. You've got to become mature first. How many of you believe we're going to build a church, a thriving, powerful church right here? We're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders. We're going to see so many powerful things. We're not running from the fight. We're not running from the devil. We're not running from it. We're going to the gates of hell. We're going to rip them down, and we're going to see testimony after testimony after testimony. I'm not going to live forever. I think the Lord's coming back soon, so something's changing in me. It's the last thing before we pray. I know that I love people. I can finally say that with all of my heart. That I truly am not racist, and I truly love people. After the pain I've been through for the last 5-6 years, I really do care about people. And I'm finally prepared and ready as a pastor to have more authority and to say more that I think will change your life. I had a vision the other day. Peter preaching the first message on the day of Pentecost. This is the same guy that denied Jesus Christ 3 times, and he was dealing with a lot of guilt and condemnation. Just a few weeks before. And I don't know why he was the one to preach the first message to the first church. The Bible doesn't say. God was like, you go. But for whatever reason, this betrayer, this denier, just a little while backslider, stood up on the day of Pentecost after he got the Holy Ghost, and he began to preach. You know what I would have thought? You're the last guy. You're the last guy. Let somebody didn't act like that get up there and preach. But you know what God showed me the other day? The Bible says, and Peter, with the 11, those guys didn't sit on them. They might have even done a better job. But those 11 brothers that knew how bad he messed up and knew what his attitude problems were and knew his flaws and knew he had issues and knew he was a backslider not just a couple weeks ago, they said, you know what? I'll stand behind Peter. I think Peter was anointed because he was anointed. I think he was anointed because he had 11 men who said, we know you. We know you meant well. We know your heart. We know you're not trying to hurt anybody. We know it's been hard, but we know you're anointed. We know God picked you. We know he handpicked you, and we're standing behind you. There have been times I have felt inadequate, and I felt like I am Peter, and I felt like I've been hot-headed, and I thank God for the 11 that still stand behind me and my wife, because it's not about me. I'm ready to stand up. I'm ready to stand up. I feel like it's time to stand up. Here's the reason why, number 3. We're not breaking through to this area because we're scared to tell people the truth because they've been so abused so long. We think that they can't handle it. But I am not going to be silenced because I have the gospel message. And it is the power of God to save, to change, to turn every sinner's life around. And I cannot be quiet because it's not God's fault. It's not our fault. It's the sinner's fault. And unless sinners come to repentance, they will never change. I'm going to preach the truth with love like never before. I'm not going to wait 5 years before I tell people things I'm thinking about them. I'm going to tell them in the first couple months. I'm going to let them have it in the first couple months. because I'm tired of seeing people escape the biggest problems of their life. I owe it to people to tell them the truth. I refuse to let people tell me I don't care. That's why I can't say it. I know that I care, and I am going to say it because I care about you. I have to say it. I want to see this area free. I want to see people off of drugs and out of abuse. I want to see parents doing right and kids raised right. I can't be silent. We can't be silent just because people are hurting. We can't be silent. This church is for hungry people. If you're not hungry, don't go to church because it won't help you at all. Lift your hands to heaven all over this house. Let's love the Lord. This is a new year. This is a new season for us. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. There's a new authority that's coming. And I feel like what happened with Brother George's truck is an example of what's happening. What the enemy meant for evil, God is going to return what the enemy's been stealing. God's about to put our church into a season of restoration. We're about to get back what was stolen. We're about to get back what was taken. We're about to get back what was broken. God wants to restore what the enemy is stealing. And I felt it prophetically that what happened with Brother George is what's happening to the members of our church right now. No matter what the enemy has done, you're going to get it back. You're going to get it back. It's going to come back to you in the name of Jesus. I feel it happening right now. I don't care how bad it's been. We are the church. We have the mighty power of God. We are victorious. We will not be abused victims. We'll rise up into wholeness and righteousness, and we will be changed by the power of the gospel. We will stay and we will reign with Christ. Thank God for LaTanya, one of our new ladies. LaTanya, God's going to use you, sister. Oh, I'm so thankful for you. I love you. I love you so much. I'm so glad you're here. God bless her right now. God, use her, anoint her, God. God, send her. She's going to be an evangelist to the community. God, I commission her right now, Lord, to grow, continue to grow, God. Bless her, God. Heal her. Let there be no hindrances. Let there be nothing from her past, God. I heal you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. God, right now, bless her, God. Make her whole, God. Give her your love, God. Complete her, perfect her, Jesus. God, give her your attributes and your character. Anoint her right now in the power of the Holy Ghost. God, I thank you for women and men that you're sending to our church. I thank you, God, for what you're doing among our people, God. I thank you for what's going to be built right here. Can you lift your hands up all over this house? Will you let God put a burden inside of you that we are not going to be a barely getting by church. We are not going to live like our zip code. We are not going to live like our neighbors. We are not going to be identified by the crime statistics in our area. I don't care how many people are doing drugs in Del Valle right now. We are different. We are saved. We are separated. We are holy. We are righteous. We're overcomers. I will not be my area. I will stay here and I will shine. Why don't you make your mind up right now, Pastor? I'm going to be changed, and then I'm going to stay. I'm going to be changed, and I'm going to stay. I'm going to be changed, and I'm going to stay. I'm going to witness and testify, and I'm going to show this area. I lived here. I grew up here. I'm different. In the name of Jesus, I pray your help today over our church. We're going to be the church the city needs right here. In Del Valle, Texas, we're going to be a people that are whole and not emotionally damaged all the time. A people that are whole. We're getting our marriages back together, our kids back together. Come on, once you get enough Jesus to fall in love with him, to say, Lord, send me and use me. Help me find a broken person. Help me find a broken person. That's it, Lord. Touch with a Braxton right now. Anoint his ministry, God, from a young age. Anoint him from a young age, God. Bless him, God. Use his calling in his heart for souls, God. God, let him become what you want him to be.
Save myself for I'd.
Let the Holy Ghost flow right now in this house. Let's let the Lord minister to us and call us. We need Spanish ministry. We need people out there knocking doors. We need people spending time at kitchen tables, loving people.
I'm falling. Does anybody hear me call?